Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Thanks so much. Thanks, guys. We appreciate your prayers. And also, please continue to pray for the health of the team. There's a bunch of, like Phil said, a bunch that are not so well. So we trust for healing in Jesus' name. Amen. And by the time that we go, that we will be all very healthy. Praise God. I want us to... Yeah, it's a privilege to share the word. I'm just going to read a... first scripture, and then I'll pray briefly. Malachi 4, verse 4 to 6. This is the end of the Old Testament. This is the last few verses of the Old Testament. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I have commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that we're able to take some time and trust, Lord, that you'd breathe life over us as we dig into your word this morning in Jesus' name. We consecrate ourselves to you. We consecrate this time to you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our teacher. We thank you that you lead us into truth, Lord, and we submit ourselves to your truth. And we trust, Lord, for good fruit of this word in our lives, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so if you're not a dad this morning, I will be speaking mostly to dads. But I believe that any parent will be blessed, and every future dad hopefully will also benefit, and future parents. And even in terms of spiritual dynamic around this, I believe... It's relevant to us. So Abigail reminded me of a joke last night. We've got family staying with us, and they wanted to tell their uncle all the jokes, so they were pulling out all these random jokes. Some of them are... anyway. Brilliant jokes the kids come up with. Abigail even thought up her own, a few of them, but you can ask her about those yourself. But she reminded me of the one where the three boys that are bragging about their dads. You heard that one? So the one says, my dad is the best. What he does is he just writes down a couple of words on a piece of paper. He calls it a poem, and people give him money for it. You know, people pay him like thousands of rand, a thousand rand, you know, for this poem. And the boys go, wow, that's amazing. And the one says, no, but my dad's way better than that. He writes a couple of words on a piece of paper, calls it a song, and he puts some music to it and plays it, and people give him like 2,000 rand or something, and to whatever, you know. Wow, that's amazing. And then the third boy says, that's nothing. My dad writes down a couple of words on a piece of paper, he calls it a sermon. And it takes eight big guys to gather all the money. That anyway, I don't know if that's still the case, but we'll see. So she likes that one, and she told it to her class, I believe, as well. But in any case, but the crazy thing is, I remember moments like that where, as young boys, we used to talk about our dads. And it's one of those scary things that whether you choose to or not, whether we're comfortable with it or not, our dads tend to be our heroes. You know, most families, there's this dynamic that they look up to us as dads in incredible ways. And they want to be like their dad. And, you know, there are there are those moments where I don't know if you've noticed this about yourself even, but sometimes there's some things that I notice in the way I do things that's exactly the way my dad did it. And then sometimes it's good things, and I'm like, okay, that's a blessing. Sometimes I'm like, whoa, that's not so great, you know. But then there's also these moments as a dad where I notice the kids do something exactly like I do it. And sometimes it's like, praise the Lord, and other times it's like, you know, why are you repeating that, you know? In terms of a bit of a that sobering moment, realizing the way they follow us is more like, it's not like Simon Says. You know the game Simon Says? Simon Says, and whatever Simon says you must do. And then you try and trick people by doing other things but saying something. So being a dad is not like Simon Says. Being a dad is more like follow the leader. You have to mimic the person's actions. Right? You know that? Obviously, it's big. And I was the follow the leader game. So being a dad, being a parent is more like follow the leader, because they don't necessarily do what we say, but they definitely do what we do. Isn't that true? So there's this sobering moment where sometimes I notice when David speaks to the dog, even he says it the same way I do. I don't know if he feels, if he, you know, he even changes the words he uses. But in any case, it's as if we've built in them this desire to imitate and to follow in the footsteps of their dad. And it's sobering for me, and it's a bit scary at the same time. I remember as a student seeing this for the first time, where one of our pastors was sitting with his, I think it must have been 2-year-old at that point, and they were just having fun around the pool, but the boy was literally imitating every move his dad made. It struck me. I thought, "Whoa, that's quite scary, you know." But that's amazing at the same time. So there's this dynamic, and like I said, it's not whether we are comfortable with it or not. It is, that's the way it is, and we need to. How do we make the most of that? How do we really trust God to be godly fathers? I want us to look at a few two concepts around this specifically. And I believe in our hearts, as dads, as parents, there is a God-given desire to give the absolute best, to give everything we can to our children. Isn't that so? So there is this built-in desire, I believe, to make the best provision we can for our families, a desire to see them flourish, to see them nurtured and cared for, a desire to see them go beyond where we're able to go. And I believe that's biblical, you know, for us to not be, you know, later on maybe threatened by the success of our children, if that's possible. But, you know, I believe there's a godly thing in our hearts as parents to want to see our children go further than we've gone, to want to see them flourish beyond where we were able to go. And even in a spiritual way, I believe that's biblical, for our ceiling to be their floor, if that makes sense. For the highest or the best place I can achieve, if that's something like, or I can, my ceiling should be the place where they start. And I believe that's in every heart. To do that, and I believe that's in the heart of every parent. But I'm afraid that, I notice that often we take a lot of time to think about the here and now in terms of our focus. So we take a lot of time to focus on maybe financial provision, so focus on stuff like education, which is all very important stuff. It's the dynamic of we put money aside, we save, we want to send them to the best schools, you know, we do research. In England, there was this, literally, I thought at first it was a joke, but I saw it's not a joke, that when a child is born, that they write down the name on the waiting list for that school. No jokes. And then they would move into the, make sure that maybe while they're pregnant, move into the right area to be in that catchment area for that school in that area. And then when the child is born, the name goes on the waiting list. Okay? How's that? For, you know, preparing for that education. And the same way we do that financially as well, we make provision. But how often do we make so much more provision in that way that, and we're not focusing on what is really God's focus? And so that's my first question is, where is our focus when we are making provision for our children? Francis Chan, he's got this amazing quote that I really like. He says people, this is paraphrasing, he says people accuse him of going completely overboard in preparing for his first 100,000 years in eternity. But he thinks people go completely overboard by preparing for their last 10 years on earth. And we, that's the way we tend to think if we follow the way of society. We tend to focus on, yes, you know, financially, retirement, the here and now, education, all that stuff. But how are we preparing our children? How are we setting them up to be successful and to flourish in their eternal destiny? Amen. So that's my first challenge to us this morning. Where is our focus? I want to read from 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 26. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, for in other words, an eternal crown, eternal destiny. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So he speaks of those running, all running in the race, some running in the rat race, some running for a temporal prize, a perishable crown, but we are running for an imperishable one. We're running for an eternal prize, something that's beyond the earthly realm. And I believe if we need to make a shift in our hearts and the way we lead our children, the way we lead our families, so that we don't just default into the way of the world. Amen? So that's my first question. Where's our focus? And I'm so encouraged, you know, when we were preparing for Live Village, it wasn't meant to be a family mission. We have specific family missions. We make them short and accessible and everything else and close. But this wasn't meant to be one of those. But then, out of the blue, there were just a bunch of families that said they want to go. They want to join us. And it's not close. It's far. It's far to travel. It's a mission, you know. And I'm encouraged by that. Because how are we able to prepare our children for the eternal destiny if we are not embracing the Great Commission as a family? How are we able to lead our families and set an example that they can boldly follow unless we truly embrace the most important command, the most important, although that commission that Christ left us with right before he ascended. So I'm encouraged and I'm challenged at the same time. We're going down, it's going to be crazy, it's going to be difficult, please pray, we're going to work really hard. But we've got 150 children that we are doing a holiday program for. Well, you've got your own hanging onto your leg. So, yeah, please, if you feel the urge to intercede, it's definitely from the Holy Spirit. Please pray for us while we're there. But I want to challenge us with this. In the same way around how we operate around church, if we're embracing the Great Commission, if we want to set up our children for the eternal destiny, how do we model, what is our attitude towards the body of Christ? Is it a hit and miss? Some mornings we do trail runs and mountain biking, which I enjoy a lot. Or we go for a hike Sunday morning. Now maybe some days it's church now and again, some Sundays. Or or small group, that's a difficult thing for family. But how do we act around it? Is it something that we say, you know what, this is, as a family, this is a priority for us. Our children have this, they don't talk about Sunday, they talk about church day. And for a while I was like, is this good, is it not good? But they love it. They're excited about church day. And in terms of us coming together as a body. We've got a church around the corner from where we live with the bell rings at 8:30. And when that bell rings, Emily always goes, the kerk clock lay. And then she knows we have to be on our way. You know, if we're not in the car yet, we're going to be in the car soon. So she then runs through the house and just, you know. But how are we building our lives and our family lives around the bigger purpose of the kingdom of God? It's one of the things I believe establishes a security in the heart of a child when they realize that my dad doesn't just decide what we do. My dad listens to God. My dad follows instructions that he also receives. I'm listening to my dad, but he's listening to somebody else. And we'll get to that a bit later. Okay, secondly, just in conjunction with that, I want us to read Ephesians chapter 5. 15 and 16, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. As dads, as parents, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And it goes on. And I want to encourage us as parents that the time is, it's so short. My friend Sias is a pastor in Stellenbosch. We spoke to him on the phone a while ago, and he mentioned that his daughter is turning 18. I said, that's impossible. Just the other day, I babysat her, and she was like this high. And the little sister was a small baby. I said, it cannot be. She's 18. And he says, it's just like that. And I was just again so challenged that the formative years are so short. They say that most of our parenting happens before the age of 7. The most important part almost, or very crucial part of our parenting happens before the age of 7. And then you've got until 13, and then they're basically young adults. Pie out the time. Take those moments. Grab hold of the time. Redeem the time, the other translation says. Make best use of the time because the days are evil. And I want to encourage us there's this, all this question between quality time and quantity time. I actually want to read Deuteronomy 6, verse 46. Listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you are getting up. And I like this because it speaks of as we live, this is what we do. This is not a Sunday or a Wednesday or a now and again. As we live, as we're getting up, as we're lying down, as we're on the road, as we're leaving, as we're coming and going, this is part of our lives, who God is, who He is in our lives. And what it also talks to me about is time spent with family. That whole thing of quantity time versus quality time, I'm convinced. Maybe I'm stepping on toes here this morning, but I'm convinced that the quality time comes out of quantity. And I believe that if there isn't quantity, we miss the quality moments. But when we position ourselves and we make our schedule so that we can have quantity time with our children, our families, then we are able to embrace properly the quality moments. Amen? And I believe they become more when we are willing to invest the quantity. Obviously, there's lots of constraints, lots of things crying out, many, you know, for our time and our resources. But I want to leave that with us. It's a challenge to really wrestle with the heart of God about how can I make sure I invest quantity so that there can be quality out of it as well. Now, I mean, one of the things that I really enjoy is that at times, in the mornings as well, but in the evenings, especially when we are able to just read scripture a bit, and first we read other books together as well, you know, story books, but then we read scripture together, and then we pray together, and then there's a few moments as the children are going to bed, which is really precious. You know, I've not mentioned this before, but Emily went through this phase, which even after we prayed, when I put her in bed, she asked me, I must pray for her as well. I must pray with her in her bed. So then we pray some more. But there's sometimes those moments where you tuck them in and you just speak just maybe a word or two, encouragement or something about the day. You know, tell them I love them. And I've noticed those are such precious moments because we've just prayed, we've just read scripture together. So often they're not asleep yet, but you know they're kind of rustig, at peace. And I'm able to encourage, I'm able to affirm. Sometimes just to pray God's promise over them, God's word over them. But those are the quality moments that come out of the quantity. Amen. And I find actually often I use those moments. And maybe not enough, I use those moments to apologize and to ask for forgiveness. And I found when I've missed it somehow, or if I've lost my cool, or if I've somehow wronged one of them during the day, that's such a precious moment to say, you know what happened earlier, I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? And I've found that children are so forgiving. But I believe those are precious moments. And as dads, we should actually ensure that we apologize often to our children when it's necessary. Amen? Because we are demonstrating something really powerful to them. The fact that even as a dad, I have many faults which they know and they can see, but my dependence is on Christ, and I want to demonstrate that just as they need to be walking in forgiveness and repentance to one another, and we as in our family, that we as dads also need to do that. Amen. So I want to encourage us. Those key moments, I believe, come out of the quantity time that we invest. And those, you know, then you get those formative moments that really shape your relationship with your children. And often, I find those formative moments come when there's been a bit of a rub, or there's been a bit of an altercation, when we then stop and say, okay, let's talk about this. Or, you know, my children are quite small yet, but Abby is definitely at that point already where we talk about what happened, and I'm really sorry about this, and she can express, you know, her part, and we can talk about it. And I find then afterwards there's such a beautiful bond that happens, even though it was a difficult moment, when we sit down and really process it well, it turns into something beautiful that God brings out of it. I mean, does it make sense? So are we buying out the time? Are we grabbing hold of those opportunities? This is one of those kites that doesn't fly on its own. This is the kite gaan nie op sy eie vlieg nie, right? So Afrikaans say though. I remember when we were on holiday in England, at one point we were living there, we went down to Portsmouth, and we were near the beach, but the English beaches are not necessarily the same as ours. You know, there are some really beautiful ones, but a lot of them have pebble beaches. So no sand castles there. But in any case, so the one day we bought a kite and we were trying to make this thing fly, and what a mission. Eh? The wind wasn't constant, it was all over the place, and we were running like crazy people up and down trying to get this thing in the air. And I got this picture that as a dad and as a parent, sometimes life is like that. That kite's not going to go up in the air by itself unless you position it correctly, and unless you are able to position yourself to harness the power of the wind at the right angle, that thing is not going to go up. You can run and you can try your hardest, but you need to be deliberate and focused. You need to kind of, it doesn't happen by accident. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, the default, unfortunately, I mentioned this, well, I've mentioned it more than once, our default as humans is selfish. And our default as families is often to kind of gravitate towards being child-centered. So the child's comfort and their demands and in everything that centers around them is the highest priority. So that is the default that we gravitate towards unless we are very deliberate and unless we are very intentional in shaping our lives and organizing our lives around the kingdom and around the pursuing the kingdom of God together. And so I'm saying, if we as parents, how are we positioning ourselves in the strength of God, in the strength and the power of His Holy Spirit as like the wind, so that we can see our families flourish? And there's a few things I want to say about that just in a moment. Okay. I want to go back to the 1 Corinthians scripture just briefly. You can go on, I'll put it there again. Do you not know that those who run with a race run all to win, but one receives the prize? I want to look at the second part here. Therefore I run thus, verse 26, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And it talks about the discipline of an athlete. And that speaks of very much an intentionality and being deliberate in how I eat, how I train, how I discipline my body. And I believe in the same way, as parents and as dads, we have to be intentional about that. So there's a bunch of ways we can do that. There's a lot of amazing parenting course material out there. We try and do one at least once a year. There's a lot of books you can read, very biblical, scriptural material to work through how to equip ourselves. Between parenting and marriage, I think it's one of the things that we prepare least for, but it's our most important. Isn't that true? You know, we spend hundreds of thousands of rands to prepare for a career, or in studies and schooling and education, to prepare for a career that's going to last, 30-odd years maybe, but more. But how much time do we invest in preparing for a marriage relationship, and how much time and money and resource do we invest in preparing ourselves to be parents? So I'm just going to leave that with you. But it speaks of a discipline here and an intentionality and a focus. And I believe that is what we need to really lead our families. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen on its own. We're going to have to really engage and trust God and really put our dependence on Christ in this. And that's my next point is, I believe above all these great tools that are out there and above all the great material that's out there, the most important thing that you and I can do as parents is to position ourselves in the way we are following Christ and the way we are looking to the Father. As parents together, as a married couple together, but also as individuals. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11. Paul writing, and he's giving a lot of practical instruction to the Corinthian church. Just after this, he speaks about the body, and he talks about how the members should work together. He speaks about the gifts. A lot of practical instruction. It's also called the Book of Order. He's giving some order. But then I'm just going to read this one verse here. But he says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. And as a father, I want to be able to say that to my children. I'll say, you can, with confidence, do everything I do because I am following Christ. This is such a scary thing to be able to say, but Paul says it with boldness. He says, you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. So I believe above all the other things we can do to prepare ourselves and equip ourselves as parents and as dads, I should say, are we imitating Christ? Are we positioning ourselves? Are we following Him in a way that our children can boldly copy everything we do? Imitate us. And I want to, in the sixth verse here, Galatians 6:14, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. Talking about a focus that has shifted. And then if, you know, sometimes you hear dads, like the joke at the beginning, boast about, or you hear children boast about their dads. But if they hear their dad boasting only in the cross, isn't that going to empower them to follow their dad as he follows Christ? Amen. Are we imitating Christ in such a way that our children can copy and imitate us and follow our lead? Emily made this thing in a class which she gave me this morning. Well, all three of them made stuff at school, really amazing little gifts. So I was really blessed this morning. But hers is this big footprint. I wonder who made it for them, but it's this big footprint and then a bit of, you know, artwork around it. But it basically says, I follow in Daddy's footsteps. And it's such a sobering moment to think, what way am I walking? Am I walking in a way that they can walk in our footsteps, my footsteps, in a way that honors Christ, in a way that will set them up for their eternal destiny? What are they seeing in my life that is drawing them to Christ? What are they seeing in the way I treat their mother? How is that illustrating the relationship between Christ and His bride? Amen. What are they seeing in the way we speak with one another? What are they seeing in the way I engage with God? It challenges me a lot. I'm preaching it myself this morning, but I'm trusting that for us to come to a point where we realize a lot of this, and this is my next point, is that it seems like an absolutely impossible task. But it's exactly in that place where I believe we can declare and live from a complete dependency upon Christ, complete dependency upon the Holy Spirit. Place of humility, a place of knowing and walking in that knowledge of I am so dependent upon God as a dad, as a father, as a husband. I told the story before, but one of my first mission trips was that one that we cycled around the country praying, and I had to wrestle through this whole thing of yes, I'm reasonably fit and I've trained. And I got injured on the first day. But then I believe the Lord was helping me to sort my heart out a bit and my motives. And in those days of injury, I had to wrestle with God. And I realized, well, we're not doing this just to be cool and just to be safe. We've cycled 5,000 kilometers around the country. But we're doing this to pray for the nation. And out of those days of injury, I praise the Lord, came to, by the grace of God, just a place of humility. And then I remember this moment every morning, getting up, 4 o'clock, you know, getting ready for the day. Part of my routine, we didn't have a lot of time, but part of the routine was just a moment somewhere, just basically on my face before God saying, Lord, unless you strengthen me today, I'm not going to make it. Unless you empower me today, I'm not going to make this day. And I believe as dads, as parents, that's the place we need to live from. Lord, unless you lead us, unless you would walk before me, unless your Holy Spirit is with me today, and I know He is, but I'm choosing to grab a hold of that provision. I'm choosing to put myself in that place in your word. I'm choosing to immerse myself in the scripture. I'm choosing to spend time with you, Lord, so that I know I can lead my family well. Amen. So I know today I can walk in the fullness that Christ has prepared for us as a family. But that place of humility positions us there. And guys, I know that there's the, you know, of maybe their dads here this morning, that maybe you're in a place of discouragement. Maybe you're in a place of maybe a little bit of hopelessness even. I believe what happens sometimes is we go into survival mode because there's so much that rests on the shoulders of fathers and parents. There's so much that leans on us. The pressure is immense. And I believe sometimes we just go into some sort of a survival mode. Just we're doing the motions. We're going through the moves, the motions. And I believe that if some of us here this morning like that, I believe God is calling you back to a place of just bringing that burden to Him daily. A place of bringing that to Him and saying, Lord, I need your grace in this situation. You know, Scripture says that when we humble ourselves, God, you know, God gives grace to the humble. But He resists the proud. So in our marriages, and we often talk about this in marriage prep, when we, you know, wrestling through stuff and we're trying to figure it out on our own, or we're running with that kite, you know, running as fast as we can, pulling as hard as we can, doing everything that we can in the flesh to make this happen, gritting our teeth, white-knuckling it, working harder, putting in the hours. But if we're doing that out of a place of pride and out of a place of our own strength, I believe that God steps back and He just, okay, you carry on there, but unless you humble yourself, I'll just be here on the side resisting the proud. And we often say, Lord, where are you in that situation? Lord, have you forsaken us? And He might just be saying, no, I'm right here, but I'm just here on the side. I'm just resisting the proud. You carry on. But I believe that moment we humble ourselves, His grace rushes in. That moment we choose to be accountable, the moment we choose to say, Lord, I need somebody, a man, and you know, for that, another dad maybe in my life that I can be honest with, that I can pray with. Pray with me. I'm failing my children this way. I'm wrestling through this stuff. Will you pray with me? The moment we humble ourselves, that grace rushes in. And God is right there. And His grace abounds for every moment. But that place of intimacy and that place of dependency on Him is where it needs to start. Are you with me this morning? And I believe maybe this morning there's some here that maybe you are finding yourself in a place of discouragement. I believe there's a grace this morning to come in humility, to step out of maybe that place of survival mode, and to step into the grace of God, to step back into the resurrection power of Christ that is available, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is available to us. Amen. I want to close. A few ways we position ourselves is in community, I mentioned that, and accountability and community, deliberately positioning ourselves, not only as parents, but as families, in a place where we are can be accountable, where we are in a small group or in a community where we can say the difficult things, and we can ask for prayer, and we can be humble about things. This does not happen by accident or on its own. It's going to have to be deliberate. It's going to take deliberate steps in community, positioning ourselves in Scripture. You know what blesses me? You know, I was fortunate to do a Bible school as a student, but I'm so encouraged when I see dads and grandfathers coming to Bible school, taking time out, saying, you know what, I want to equip myself. When I see older men and men that have walked the road of faith come to the Encounter series, I'm so encouraged, because men are saying, you know what, if I'm positioning myself in the Word, and if I'm continually pursuing to grow in my revelation of Christ, I'm positioning myself to be able to lead well and to be able to be a godly dad. And then in prayer as well, positioning ourselves in prayer and in humility and intimacy before God. There's a secret place there where the empowering happens. God calls us to Himself, and then He launches us out. Amen. But we shouldn't be, you know, the coming is just as important as the going. More even. Even as dads, are we coming so that we can go, so that we can lead? Let's stand this morning and sort of take a moment or two to pray. So here's a place of dependency on the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that I'm familiar with the feeling, or that moment when you realize that you've now messed up properly as a dad. You know, I had a moment like, I remember a moment like that with Abigail not too long ago. I can't remember the details, but I remember me responding badly and quickly and loudly to something, you know, overreacting. And I saw, and she just, I saw her get a fright. And she went quiet. And then after a while, I went to her and I had to repent. And we could work through it. But I know those moments where you realize, sure, I've now messed up properly. You know, I've now come short. So those happen, and there are different moments like that, and a different way it happens. But I want to say to us, in those moments, we need to embrace the grace of God for those moments. Choose to get back into His presence. Choose to get on our knees and repent. Whether it's towards our spouse or towards our children. And then there's great grace right there. So I know those moments where you know you're weak and you feel insufficient. But yet, when we choose to step into the footsteps of Christ, when we choose to walk in the fullness of the victory of the cross, suddenly the impossible becomes possible. Amen. Suddenly what is beyond our capacity as humans becomes possible because of the great grace, because of His power, because of the resurrection power of Christ, because of the fullness of the blood of Jesus, because of His presence with us. What is impossible becomes possible. And I felt maybe this morning there's a bunch of us here that your own dad maybe was struggling with many things. Maybe you, like my dad's dad, my grandfather passed away when he was 4 years old. Maybe you had a situation like that where there was, out of nobody's fault, there wasn't really a father figure. Maybe your dad was absent in a way. I just felt that His grace this morning just to humble ourselves before God. Lord, that trust You, Lord, to shift this. Maybe it's a pattern that's come across the generations, but I believe there's grace to end the pattern, end the cycle. And say, Lord, even though this is a cycle in my family, in the name of Jesus Christ,
that cycle will not continue. And for us to receive healing, receive restoration, receive empowerment from Him. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that we can look to you as our Father. Thank you that we can look to you as our ultimate example, as the perfect dad. And thank you that for each one of us here, that's your heart, Lord, is for us to know you as a good Father. Even when Jesus teaches us to pray, he says, "Our Father," which was at that point just a revolutionary thing, Lord. But I thank you this morning that we could draw to you, near to you, Lord, as our dad, as our father. And we humble ourselves, Lord, as dads, as parents, as children, we humble ourselves. And we say, Lord, we need your grace. We need your grace. We thank you that you have won the victory on the cross. We thank you that you've made provision for us to be godly husbands, for us to be godly fathers, for us to imitate you, Lord, in a way that we can boldly invite our children to imitate us, because we are following Christ. We are boasting only in the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that rushes in. I pray, even right now, where hearts have been wrestling through things, where these hearts that maybe have been discouraged, or maybe have gone into survival mode, or maybe have been focusing more on the temperate, on the perishable things. I pray, Holy Spirit, even right now, for your conviction. And even where you're standing right now, if you have that conviction that you need to make a shift in your heart today, I want to invite you, just where you're standing now, to speak to God and say, "Lord, I choose today to look to you. I choose today, Lord, to shift my heart so that I can set up my children for the eternal destiny." Just take a moment if that's you. If you need to just do business with God about some specific point that He has convicted you of, I want to encourage you just right now where you're standing, just to speak with Him in a moment. If you need to repent of something, just to take a moment to do that. To receive His grace. Father, we thank you that you see every heart. Now, I sense there's some here this morning that are even wrestling to relate to God as a father, struggling with that, struggling to receive His love, struggling to receive His forgiveness. I believe his invitation is there this morning, is to come, to draw near to Him. And if that's something you're struggling with, to be honest with Him, say, "Lord, this is difficult for me," for whatever the reason may be, but to say, "Lord, this is difficult for me. I want to know you as a dad, but there's so many things in my way." I believe there's such an anointing to bring those things before God this morning, and grace to you. Say, "Lord, this is standing in my way. Help me to navigate this." In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for that your love as a dad you expressed in such an amazing way by sending your Son in our place, Lord, by paying the highest price, by giving us the greatest gift anybody could imagine. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. As every eye is closed this morning, as every head is bowed, I want to take a moment. If you're standing here this morning and you have not yet got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're standing here now and you know that although you may have heard, you may have been around church, you may have heard a lot about it right now, you know that you are not right with God. Right now, you know that your relationship with God is not what it should be. Maybe you're far from Him. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Him. I believe there's a grace this morning. And there's an invitation that He's extending to you, saying, "My son, my daughter, I've paid the highest price so that you can have life, that you can have a relationship with Me." If that's you this morning, and excuse me, if you have a desire to today to lay down your life, to take up your cross, to repent of your sin, and to choose to receive His gift of salvation, to choose to follow Him as Lord and Savior, while every eye is closed, if you want to receive that gift of salvation this morning, why don't you raise your hand for a moment? I'd love to pray with you. If you'd like to step into that provision that He has made. Is there anybody like that this morning? I believe He wants to embrace you as a father. He wants to give you a clean slate, a new start. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your great grace. We pray even as we go from this place, Lord, that Your grace would abound, Lord, for every dad, for every parent, in Jesus' name. Even for those of us who are raising up children in the Spirit, Lord, who are discipling others, Lord. So many of these concepts are pulled through to that. Lord, we trust for Your great grace, Lord, as we are fathering people, in Jesus' name. And we thank You that as we go from this place, Holy Spirit, that You draw us even closer and closer to You as a dad, Lord, that we would walk in Your footsteps, that we would imitate You, Lord, in Jesus' name. May Your name be glorified as we represent You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you, maybe as a dad or as a parent this morning, if you need to receive God's grace for a specific thing, maybe that the Holy Spirit convicted you of this morning, I want to really challenge you to come forward and receive prayer in that area. Excuse me, maybe specifically if you had an absent dad, or if you need to make a shift in the way you relate to God as a father, I want to really encourage you to come forward for prayer. And if you have any other prayer need, maybe it's for healing or for provision or whatever it is, God has already made a way for you. And we'd love to agree with you and pray about that. So please come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Thanks so much for your time. Trust you have a blessed Father's Day and a blessed Youth Day. Enjoy it with family and friends, and join us with some refreshments. There's no evening service, so please remember that. Have a great day. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.